In John chapter 20, the portion of scripture we just read, I want to talk to you about the mission of Jesus. There are only two major points in the message this morning, but there are a number of subpoints. As I never have quite learned the 3 points, a poem and a prayer thing. I've always been a bit more verbose than that. Thank you for your patience in working with me with that. I want to go to the portion of scripture, verse 19, where it says that then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And I want to stop right there and just go through this just for a moment. My two main points, or 3 main points, I should say. I do have 3 points, but I just didn't have the poem. No, I don't. I have 2 main points. What am I doing? I have to read my own notes to see what's going. So you've got your notes before you. You get to get a chance to see more than I know. I'm going to talk to you about peace as the Father sent me and receiving the Holy Spirit and us being sent the same way. And because that's what we're going to do this morning, I want to focusing our attention on these verses. I want you to consider with me, Jesus says, "Peace be with you," or "peace to you." He repeats it. Let's consider, first of all, the emotional turmoil, the spiritual disappointment, and the loss of hope going on with these guys. Emotional turmoil. Consider with me just for a moment. These men who are in this room had been with Jesus for 3 years of their life. As a matter of fact, they had committed their lives to him. And it wasn't just like he was a great teacher and they're following a great teacher. He had committed his life to them. They had become intimate brothers and sisters. They had known each other. And having known each other, they had shared. They had watched Jesus share his every part of his life. Listen, kids, they were with him day and night. You're going to see everything that someone does. You get to see his prayer life. You get to see the things that could discourage him, the things that could encourage him. And they were so convinced that he was that Messiah. Nobody was like him. And they were attached to him. And they watched him be crucified. They went through the emotional turmoil of knowing that they had walked out on him. Some of them fled for their own lives to get away from him. What do you do with that when you face the reality you just ran from the one who loved you more than anyone else? Do you ever have any regret? Do you think they felt any regret? You think they felt any sorrow? They've lost him. He's gone. They've seen him dead. What happens to dead people? They're gone. Their spiritual hope is gone. Everything is gone. They are upset in spirit. They are upset in mind. They are upset in emotion. They are torn up. They've got each other, so they've gone back to each other to be with each other. But they're there as hopeless men. You ever been there before? Have you ever come to the point in your life where you said, you know, so many things have gone right now, I don't see how anything ever come good out of it. I don't see how anything good can happen. We've lost everything. We have invested. Matter of fact, we left our fishing boats. We left our occupations. We left everything. I don't even know if I got a job. As long as we were with him, we got taken care of. There was food. There was what we needed. We were taken care of. But he's gone. What are we going to do now? What do we do for our hope? He is the Messiah. We know he's the Messiah. But we don't have that anymore. And our spirits are just disappointed. You suppose there's some anger there? Anger at themselves, maybe, for not being with Jesus, not protecting Jesus. Anger at the people. Why did you do that? What did he ever do to you? All he ever did to you was good stuff. Why in the world? And maybe mad at the Pharisees, Sadducees, those who took his life, Romans. Maybe you're upset with the Romans. We're tired of this occupation army being here all the time. We can't even have a good Messiah because of these guys. Do you suppose they're torn up about that too? And then it says that they were in this room for fear of the Jews. So if emotional trouble's not enough, if spiritual disappointment's not enough, if loss of hope is not enough, you got the Jews ready to kill you. They believe you're a part of a seditious movement that's going to overthrow the temple, overthrow, and the Romans, you know, maybe they're going to go for it too. It says they're more afraid of the Jews Because the Jews had taken it out on the Lord Jesus Christ, their Messiah. Would they be next? So here they are, locked up. I want you to just think what a mess they're in. Emotionally torn up, spiritually questioning, what was that all about? 3 years of our life? I thought he was the Messiah. What's going on with that? Now he's gone, and now they got to worry about their own lives. And stuck right in the middle of that, kids, is Jesus. Not part of the room, locked in the room. Here is Jesus standing in the middle of them. What's that going to do for you? How does that go in with the mix of all you're feeling right now? Is that a whoa? Is that what have we done now? This is not real, right? This can't really be happening. But I want you to notice what it does say about them. He comes in and says, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So what's he going to do? He's going to show him, look here, see that cut? It's not healed, kids. That's only 3 days ago. See his hands? They're not healed. They got holes. See his feet? This really is Jesus. And now they're glad. Now, that's a real switch from where they had been. Would you agree with that? That is a real switch. You have to do some pretty good mental gymnastics to go from boom, boom, boom to that. But they did. They made that. The resurrected Lord has all things in the right order, so he says peace. Remember what we talked about before? Peace is that settled assurance that things are back in the right place where they're supposed to be. It's everything operating the way it was designed to operate. And it is that settled feeling that knows all is right. And here comes the one who was dead and is now alive, and the words he's going to say to them are, "Peace be with you. Peace to you." He's going to repeat it. Everything's in its right place. Let me share with you, that's not what they thought 10 minutes ago. The world has fallen apart 10 minutes ago, and now this one, who no doubt is Jesus that you watched die, is now standing in your presence, and he's obviously who he said he is, and he's saying peace. Let me just say this. He is the peace. It really doesn't matter what turmoil has got you upset today. It really doesn't matter how deep you think that thing is. It really doesn't matter that you cannot think of a single way it can be solved. Can I tell you this? He is your peace. It's not just that you're going to have some really neat solution come to and it's all going to work the way you wanted it to. Not at all. You got to get things at the ground level. Peace be with you. Now let me think just for a moment. What was it that would allow him to say those words? Why could this one say those words? This is Messiah. Think with me. Oh, this is. Listen, if you're not excited already, I hope you will be. Here we go. He is giving them peace because they are at right order. Now watch this. He had said on the cross, "It is finished." He's dead? Oh, kids. No. I know we're not Greek scholars in here. But let's go with this. He used a perfect word, perfect tense. What that means is something that has been done right here that is going to have totally lasting effects. Okay? So when he's dying on the cross, he says, in an instant of time, this thing is done. It is finished. But it has, zoom, all kinds of results with it. Let me just tell you what he did that day. On that day, when he said, it is finished, he finished the work of Satan. Let me tell you who Satan is. That is your enemy. And Satan is the one who has blinded all kinds of people. He's kept people in captivity. He's kept them away from the knowledge of God, because in the knowledge of God, they could have life. But he's kept them in this through fear of death, through intimidation. Don't do that. You can't trust God. Look what he's done to you. Think of all the tsunamis in the world. Think of all the earth. If God was really good, would he be that way with you? When you lost your mother, was he good to you then? When you lost your little baby, was he good to you then? Why would you trust him? There is no God. You're being deceived. Those religious people are trying to put things on you. No, there's just you. You against the world. And you're going to win. Trust me. I know. And blinding them, keeping them from it. Can I tell you, that's who we're after. There are people who need to be liberated, friends. Set free. They have heard that lie. They have seen his teeth. They have heard him growl. They need to be free. Everywhere. They got to start with the soul first. You follow me? They've got to be in that relationship with God. And from there, finances get freed. Marriage gets freed. Relationships gets freed. That's what he did on that cross that day. And he could say, it is finished. I've done what needs to be done. I have done the decisive blow. Boom! Gut shot, Satan. How you like that one? Power gone. Look at this. He died that day. You say, big deal. What's that? People die all the time. That's what happens to people. Yeah, well, the wages of sin is death. He wasn't a sinner. Why is he dying? The only reason he's dying is because God is collecting all our sins together and saying, you know what I'm going to do? Because I love the thing which I've created, because I love the people who are of this world, I am going to take all the things that are against them and I'm going to pour it on you, son. And you're going to get their hell. Dad, I accept that. And he does. That death was our death, kids. That's why he can say, it is finished. What you were supposed to have, you don't now. What was coming to you, you won't now. It's finished. You know what that means? If he died the penalty of sin, what does that do to the thing that got you there? What does that do to the sin? It takes it and it throws it as far as the east is from the west. It's gone. It's finished. Your life has been purchased. And for all that burden you keep on wanting to carry around, can I tell you this? He has taken that burden off of your back. He has put it on the cross. He died on that cross to pay the full price of that. All of it's done. That's what you got. That's what's finished. He has now purchased everything. Look, if he can beat Satan, who was the God of this age, the Lord of this planet, and he just defeated him, what does that have to make Jesus? The new Lord of this planet. You follow me? What does that mean? That there are no other lords. One, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you just got set free. Follow that? Now, let's bring him back from the dead. Now, what do you got? Peace be with you. I finished it. It's done. And here's the boys looking and saying, yeah, it's good. Peace. Why? No, peace to you. He's not saying, peace to me, guys. I'm at peace. It's peace to you. He just declared to them, everything you needed is in the right order right now. Can I tell you something, my friends? He said, I have just put you in the right order with God Almighty. You who once were estranged from Him had just been brought to His family. That's why he could say peace. Because God just put everything in your life in a right order with Him. He brought it all back together. And he could say, peace to you. Settled. Done. Finished. Amen? Go on, let her be. He said then, as the Father has sent me. Don't just glide over that. Think with me just for a moment. John used this word that, matter of fact, he records Jesus said sent about 50 times in this book. Now you say, so what? Those 50 times, Jesus repeated time and again, as the Father has sent me, him who sent me, the one who sent me, get the picture. It says in our outline, mission from the sovereign authority. He got his commission. He got his mission from God himself. He was sent here. He is not just a Jewish guy who had delusions of grandeur, who got in one day and said, hey, why don't I just be a Messiah? Everybody else has been. Why not me? No, he came because he had been sent. This is the loving compassion of God because he loves his whole creation, seeking to make the whole creation at peace with him. He is buying back the whole of creation. And he's sending his son to do it. Everybody with me here? This is not a light thing. He is not just creating a mission for himself. He was sent by God. And we know this, number two, complete submission, humility, and intentionality. He was in complete submission. When he comes as a human being, he is in complete submission. You ever struggle with partial submission? Where you know, I'm good for Jesus a couple of hours every day. And then since it's 24 hours in a day, if I give Jesus like 2.4, that's like a tithe, right? So that's all that Jesus requires, the tithe. Here we go, I gave him 2.4 hours a day. What does that mean? That means that there's, what, 22.6 that are moi. You see where we're at? No. That's partial submission. This guy is 24/7, full, complete submission. Time to sleep, Dad? You can sleep now. Time to wake up, Dad? Time to wake up, son. Son, today we're not going to continue with this revival in this group here. We're going over here. Yes, sir, Father. Not, but wait, we're having a good time right here. No, go over here. Okay. Now what am I doing today? Got a blind man you're going to heal? I'll show it. Just stay with me. I'll show you when we get there. You follow me? Complete submission. Not thinking, this is what I'm going to do today. Here's my agenda today. Here's my to-do list. Here's my check-off list. No. What do you got for me, Dad? Today, we're going this way. That's the way I'm going. Total humility. Consider with me. This is God. He owns it all. Matter of fact, he knit in the womb of the mothers these guys that he's talking with. He knit in the wombs of their mothers the guys that are opposing him. And yet, here he is in not such a pretty body. It says there's no beauty in him that we would desire him. He looks like a common, everyday, run-of-the-mill Jewish guy. So there's nothing really buff about him. There's nothing really strong and extreme about him. Nothing dainty or weak about him either, if I can say that. Listen, you can't walk all the places that Jesus walked and go every place that Jesus did and be a wimp. You follow what I'm saying? It just doesn't work. By the very fact you're walking, there's a whole lot of muscles you just tightened up. So if you follow what I'm saying, he's just normal. That's God who's being common like us. common. And he's just as intentional as can be. He's not a limp rag. He's saying, I want to do this. I'm intending to do this. I'm intending to follow my Father. He's already told me I'm going to die. He's already told me that. He's already told me I'm dying a sacrificial death. I'm only waiting for the time I get there. And he told me to occupy till I get there. So I'm doing what he said to do every day. If I can say this further, he's given full authority to represent the Creator Lord. Full authority to represent the Creator Lord. So it's complete submission, humility, intentionality. He's been given full authority to represent the Creator Lord. Matter of fact, so much for, I want you to look, just put your finger right here at 20 and go back to John 5. Go back to John 5. Verse 19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. Watch as he goes even deeper with this thing. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. You follow that? That's full representation. When you are looking at Jesus, you're looking at the Father. He's saying, if you think you're worshiping me and you're not worshiping Jesus, you're not worshiping me. That's how much invested I am in this Jesus. All right. The fourth thing, he has the full compassion and love of God. You know, we never want to forget that when Jesus came to the people, he looked around them, he saw them as people without a shepherd. He saw them as lost. And it moved him to compassion. He was moved deeply inside because he could see what these people were living with. They were without direction, out protection, without provision. They were without. And he was moved with compassion for them, and he loved them. And then he said this, pray the Father, pray the Lord of the harvest will send laborers into the field. He looked at them and said, look at this. They've got nothing. They're without. They're held captive. They are blinded. They are imprisoned. They are tortured. They are being moved every day by someone who does not love them at all. And my Father has sent me to seek them. And now, pray the Lord of the harvest will send more laborers into the harvest. That's the compassion and love of God, kids. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Loved it. God is moving through his compassion and his love. If I can say further, number five, he has integrity to the will and the word of God. The Son is saying point blank, I am not going to do anything my own thoughts. I'm going to do only the thoughts of my Father. So he has full integrity to the will and the word of God. And everything he's going to say is coming from the word of God. Everything he's going to say is because of the will of God. Everything. There won't be a portion that's not. He's got full integrity there. Number six, he came to seek and to save that which is lost. Get that. He's looking for you. He's looking for you. He's looking for you because he wants to save you. He's not just looking to see what you look like. He's got that down pretty good. He's looking to save your life. Excuse me. I know this. He's looking for that which was lost. Look, I don't know everybody in here today, and I don't know where you're at. But I can tell you this. Apart from Jesus, apart from that good shepherd, you're following a false shepherd. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have a true shepherd. Now, if you say, I don't follow anyone, I follow my own life. Not only is it a false shepherd, it's a bad shepherd. You follow me? You didn't bring yourself into this world. You didn't commission yourself. You were brought here by somebody else. No part of your life is your independent life. You're dependent upon a whole lot of things for you to live. If you're following yourself because you think you're some sort of enlightened soul, may I say, God help you. That's not enlightenment. That's the blind leading the blind. Jesus is the good shepherd. Why? He's the one that made you. He's the one that gave you life. He's the one that brought you into this world. He's the one that came to save you. He's the one that came to rescue you. He's the one that gives you life, period. That's why you need him. And he's full of love and compassion for you and knows that the shepherd you're following is the wrong one. And I hope today you hear his voice so that you'll leave that shepherd and follow this one. And I know that if you're here today, you're not here because of some passing by the street and saw the church. You're here by divine appointment, friend. God wanted you here today. You belong here. This is something that he wanted you to know. This is something he wants you to have. You belong here. And once you find out that you belong to Christ, you'll find out you belong with us. We're part of your family, and you want to be with us. Seeking to save. Number 7, he came to tell the complete truth. Because he has integrity toward the will of God, the word of God, he came to tell the complete truth. As we've seen earlier in John chapter 5 and verse in number 8 here, he has the authority to give life. God, the creator who gives life to everything, authorized his son to give life also. So when Jesus offers you life, that's not an empty proposal he's making. He has full authority to give you that life. And I'm going to say it's give, not earn, not work for. He's here to give you life. It is a gift from him. Number 9 in our outline, he had the authority to forgive sins totally. Now, that's not just a light thing to say, kids. If he's got the authority to totally forgive sins, he has to be God himself. That's the only one that you could that could possibly forgive sins. He is God himself. More about that at another time, I'm sure. To raise up, number 10, to raise up and keep all that the Father gave him and to unite them into one body in him or to him. Now, here's what I mean by that. Jesus had told him in John chapter 6, that the Father has given me authority to raise up whatever he gives to me and keep it to the last day. You have been given by God eternal life, and he has been given as your shepherd to raise you up and keep you to the end. But now get this, it is not just you. Look to your left, look to your right, look behind you, look around you. It's them too. You follow me? And he put all of us in one body. He was not looking just about single people, not just solitary people. He was looking to put all of us in an interdependent relationship with each other, just like the rest of creation. You follow that? The rest of creation depends on each other. The trees depend on the soil, depend on the water, depend on the microbes, depend on that. They all depend on the tree leaves falling so that there's more soil that comes from it. There are more microbes come from it. They all depend on the weather. They depend on the sun. They depend on the air. You follow me? And he put us in such a relationship that we'd be in an interdependent, symbiotic relationship with each other, helping each other out in every stretch of the way to accomplish our purpose. To accomplish our mission. You say, what is that mission? Glad you asked. We'll come to that in just a minute. Number 11, to save and not condemn. Jesus said in John chapter 3, I came to save the world, not to condemn the world. The world's already in a condemnation state. He's not got to come and point out that you're already in a condemnation state. We're already in a condemnation state. So he didn't come to condemn. It's already condemned. He has come to rescue out. Come on 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 out. Follow me. Follow me. That's what he's come to do. So when you look at the Lord Jesus Christ, look at him right now. I'm telling you, he's here to save you, not condemn you. He's not here to criticize you. That's already taken care of. You're already criticizing yourself. You follow me? You're sitting there with guilt yourself. You know what you've done wrong. You just don't want anybody to point it out. He didn't come to point it out. He came to save you. Now, I'm telling you, a day is going to come when he completes the whole thing. He will take up what you have already condemned. He's here to offer us everlasting life. To reject that and slap God in the face one more time. When God has said, look, I am God, you're not. And you've said, yeah, okay, I'm God. I've decided I'm God. Well, you're not. And you keep on living that way. Let me tell you, the day will come when he says, you didn't want, you can't have. I can't give you a relationship with me now. You kept rejecting it, rejecting it, rejecting it. Now you have what you wanted. That's the condemnation. You follow me? And that day's coming. But right now, I'm telling you, he's full of love and compassion, and it's calling people out of the condemnation that's already flowing. Okay? Here we go. It is to reconcile all things in heaven and earth. Jesus came to reconcile all those things in heaven and earth. Look, there has been a rebellion in heaven and earth. We know that. We know that Satan rebelled against. We know the angels fell with him. At least a third of the angels fell with him in this great deception that he pulled off. And because of that, there has been a turmoil on the earth. And with that turmoil on the earth, what's going to reconcile it? People couldn't. There was no human being that could reconcile. We did good to reconcile anything down here. Listen, we do good to reconcile things with our husband and wife. How are we going to reconcile the whole world? This guy came and reconciled it all. He just takes Satan on head on, ends the fear of death by dying and living again, re-grabs the whole earth for himself, and now starts the whole peace process of putting everything back like it belongs. That's him. Now, if you got what I've just told you, that's how God sent him. That's what he came to do. You follow me? Now, go back to chapter 20 and look with me, please. In verse 21, the disciples are glad to see him, and they're hearing this. So Jesus said to them, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Now, I know if you've got a MacArthur Bible, you've probably got a note there that says, we know they didn't receive the Holy Spirit till Pentecost. No, I don't think that's correct. They received it right here. And here's what they received. If you read back through Numbers or Leviticus, I think Numbers is probably a better place to read. There came a day when obviously Aaron had already been committed to be the priest. He's the high priest. And here's all these other folk of Aaron's sons that are committed to be priests. But they are not qualified to serve. You see, they have to be consecrated. Now, believe me, reading back through it, I haven't got a clue what that means. Why you put blood on the right earlobe, the right thumb, and the right toe? Okay, I don't know. That's above my pay grade. I can tell you that for sure. Whatever it is, you're pouring oil on. You're doing something. It's clothing that has to go on, certain clothing, and it's like washing, and it's two or three washings, and it's washing your clothes, and it's getting all of that had to be done before they can touch the throat of any animal. Wow. But once they got to touch the throat of that animal, listen, sins are getting settled all over the place. Peace is getting made all over the place. Here's what I understand took place. When Jesus breathed on them the Holy Spirit, he's consecrating them as priests ready to serve. So let's write these blanks down. Write these down, would you? Number one, he is giving to them everlasting life. They had trusted him. Here's the Holy Spirit that gives you everlasting life. Listen, when you trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, it is the Holy Spirit that gives you everlasting life. The Holy Spirit causes you to be born again, and you're a new person. Everybody with me so far? Number two, he's giving them authority, not power, authority. They are now being commissioned by him as his representative, just as he had been commissioned by the Father as his representative. Now, these guys are being commended as the representative, all right? So they have that authority. They are sealed. And if I can say this, power doesn't come to Pentecost. Remember what he said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8? You shall receive power as the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So they're going to get their power to use their authority on Pentecost. In other words, just like priests, they are consecrated here and go to work here. They're consecrated here at resurrection, and here in Pentecost, they're commissioned to go to work. They will start doing the work of the sacrifices of God. They were sealed. That Holy Spirit sealed them up. It made sure that you are children of God, you are my servants, you are my ministers, sealed. Number four, it anointed them as priests. That Holy Spirit is called the anointing. And it anointed them as priests. So now what they needed to be priests, had they just been anointed. And number five, it consecrated them to ministry. Now they're ready to do the ministry. He has not commissioned them to do that yet, but they are now prepared to do it. Everybody with me? Here we go. I also send you. Let's look at this. I also send you. As the Father has sent me, I'm also sending you. Now get the picture. That's the same mission, kids. The same mission that Jesus had is the one you have. Not a different mission. As the Father sent me, this is what he sent me to do, I am now sending you. I am authorized to do this. Matthew 28 had said, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth, and now I'm commissioning you. Here's the mission. You're to go and do the same thing I was doing. Letter B, we are an extension of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called his body. We are an extension of him. He's very much alive. You recognize that? But let's not get geographical about the thing. He's very much alive in heaven, not here. Hold it. No, he's very much alive right here. As soon as he sent his Holy Spirit, his life is right here. It's right with you. It's right inside you. Don't get geographical about it. He's like an omnipresent God. So he's with you. Just as he said in Matthew 28, lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. He's with you. His life is with you. You are an extension of him. Letter C, you're authorized by, get this, the King of Kings, the firstborn over all creation, the firstborn from the dead. Heaven and earth are his. Listen, if God has moved us into a region, it's because he wants that region to know that truth. Listen, when we're moved to go to Nepal, when we're moved to go to Bhutan, when we're moved to go to India, why? Because he's ahead of us. He's already went over there and said, follow me, I'm right here in India. Follow me, I'm right here in Bhutan. Follow me, I'm right here in Nepal. I am going to do a work here. You going to follow me? You let somebody else do this. Oh, you're following? Come on ahead. And now we start following because he's ahead of us. He's doing the work. He's already doing that thing that he does best. He sent his Holy Spirit into this world to convict the world of sin, righteousness, judgment. He has sent us into that world to bring them the knowledge of their liberation. It's to proclaim, you have just been set free, kids. That which held you in bondage before does not need to do that now. I want you to know the Lord of all that bondage is done. I beat him on the cross. I beat him at the tomb, and now you are free. That's what we're doing. There are people right here in the Metro East who don't know that. Letter D, they've been empowered by the Trinity. Empowered by the Trinity. It's the Father who gives you the power. It's the Son who gives you the power. It's the Trinity who gives you power. Hey, let me ask you something. What do we got to be afraid of? What have we got to be afraid of? We have full authority from the King of Kings. We're not representing the local government here. We're not representing Pastor White and the elders. For crying out loud, we got nothing. But when you are representing the King of Kings, what authorization do you need? When you are empowered by the Spirit of God, by the Son of God, by the Father of all creation, you are fully powered. What's to be afraid of? There are people here who are in captivity, in prison, who need to be set free. Letter E, we've been granted the character, righteousness, and life of the Lord Jesus Christ. The character comes through the fruit of the Spirit. We have been given the character of God. That is the character of God. Look at the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 and understand that's the character of God. Full of love, full of truth, full of power. That's Him. And you've been given that. Your life is full of the righteousness of God. Listen to what He says. He made Him who knew no sin to be made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. You have been declared fully righteous because He has imparted to you and imputed to you the full righteousness of God. Lastly, He's given you the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, one of the reasons that you know you can go on living in spite of your failures and mistakes because Jesus' life, now get this, that's the life before the cross, the life before the tomb. His life was a life of full submission, full humility, full intentionality, fully doing what God wanted. Now get this. He's not just your substitute in His death. He's not just your substitute in His resurrection. He's your substitute with His life. The obedient life you would like to have had, He had. And He has imputed His life to you. He has imputed His righteousness to you. You have the life of Christ in you. You have His righteousness. You have His character. You have His life in you. All right? Let me go on to the next. He said in Matthew 28, as you are going. Now, that's not go. The assumption is you will go. How many of you plan to stay in this building seated where you are for the rest of this day and through this week? How many of you plan to do that? Mike Underwood, who likes to vacuum in here, is not going to appreciate that. Okay? What are you going to do? Say, as soon as you shut up, we're walking out that door and go get something to eat. Because you're going to go. Then what are you going to do? Go home and just sit in your fortress? I don't think so. You'll be going someplace else. How many of you go to work in the morning? Good, good, good. So you'll be going, right? Get this picture. As you are going, and you will, do this. As you are going, make disciples of all nations. And as if you're a little concerned about it, he ends that little sentence by saying this, and I am with you always, wherever you go, to the end of this age. End of fear. Stop sweating the small stuff, and it's all small stuff, right? He goes on to this. Make disciples of everyone who will listen, and it's without discrimination or surprise. It's without discrimination or surprise. In other words, I don't discriminate against the people that I don't necessarily like so well. Can I tell you this? Bikers can be saved. They really can. You ready for this? Muslims can be saved. And we don't go, what? Muslims? What? Bikers? What? People with tattoos? Not possible. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I don't care what. Name the ethnic group. Name whatever you want. It doesn't matter. We're to do it to everyone without discrimination and without surprise. Following. Baptizing them. Let me show you why he wants them baptized. He is looking for a committed marriage with people, okay? He is not looking for a live-in relationship that might come or go. Look, cohabitation may sound like a wonderful thing, but it goes without any commitment. I'm committed to you today, but if I'm not committed to you tomorrow, then I'm free to leave and you're free to leave too. A marriage says a whole lot more. We do that publicly. I don't care how big the group was or whatever else, we make a commitment publicly that says, I do you, I do too, then we do. Right? Here's my ring, here's the candle, burned, we're done. We are committed in a public way to each other, and all our witnesses saw that. They know what we're about, and they fully anticipate we're going to stay in that marriage, right? When we take people to the baptism and we put them in there and we commit them into an identity to the Lord Jesus Christ, this is not a cohabitation. This is not a live-in. This is a marriage. He's committed to you fully. And you are saying your I do as well. When we are leading people to Christ, kids, that's when we know the commitment took place. When there has been a public statement, yes, I am committed to Jesus Christ and Him alone. We'll say when people get married here, will you be faithful to this one and this one alone, forsaking all others? That's what we're asking in baptism. Will you be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, forsaking every other Messiah, even yourself? Yes. And that's your baptism. And then we're to teach them to observe all I have commanded you like he did to them. In other words, he modeled this thing. He mentored them in this thing. He showed them what he was doing. He gave them responsibility. He came back and he showed them. He kept showing them more and more and more. This is what you do. This is what you do. And now he's saying, go do exactly what I commanded you to do. So if I can say it this way, that's teach them. You got to demonstrate it, model it, show them how to do it. That is to keep. Then they're going to treasure that thing. That's going to be important to them. They're going to look at the words of Jesus and say, these are treasures to me. This is not just a pack of information I've learned that I can take or leave. This is something I hang on as every word. There are words that you hang on to, friends. I'll not go into that one. I might get emotional on that, so I'm not going to do it. Treasure, practice, do exactly. Number three, his commandments. These are truth and life. These are things he commanded to be done. Love one another. What you're going to do, you're going to learn to love one another. And in that loving, we're to take those other people who are now trusting Jesus Christ, we're to show them how to love. We're to show them how to love one another. Now look, you got to practice that yourself. You follow me? We've said this year we're going to commit ourselves to being a loving body. If you're waiting for somebody to finally love you enough that you can feel like you're a part of that loving body, you waited way too long. Open up your heart and start doing it yourself. It's your commandment just as much as anybody else is sitting in this room. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen because all of us started saying, I'm going to be vulnerable. I'm going to do it. And I know this. I have been authorized by the King of God, the King of Heaven. I've been offered by the King of Kings, the Lord of the Lords. I have been empowered by the great Creator himself to do just exactly this. You can't touch me. You cannot hurt me. You cannot even do much more than disappoint me. And if I'm using my head, you can't even disappoint me. What was I thinking you were going to do anyway? We are walking disappointments, are we not? We're not Jesus. Supposed to look like him, supposed to imitate him, but guess what? We can be pretty disappointing sometimes. Get past it. You're trusting Jesus, not each other. You're committing to each other. You're committing to show each other that kind of love that says, I can be vulnerable. I can be open to this. It can happen. And you know what? I'm getting past that. You may disappoint me for momentarily, but I have just found the power of forgiveness. I have just found the power of bringing people into a new life. And I'm not giving that up for you. You're not going to disappoint me. I'm going to bring you right into my life again. You follow where I'm at? Father, thank you so much that Jesus Christ is Lord of everything. Lord of our lives. One who's given to us everything that we need. We are fully equipped people. We are fully loved people. And we're not under any kind of condemnation anymore. We will probably goof up and fail. Matter of fact, that may be a backdoor to success. But we know this, Jesus Christ is holding us, Jesus Christ is keeping us, and he never failed once. Thank you that all of that has been conveyed to us, passed on to us. We give you praise for that today. I don't know everybody here, Father, but I know you do. You know every heart that's in this room and every thought that's going on in this room right now. And I ask in the name of Jesus that you will make your thoughts known to them, that you will draw them to this loving and compassionate Savior who has given himself for them. who wants to give us brand new life. Save, Father, as you do. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to have our praise team come, and they're going to have a song with us here. We get a chance to sing. Today may be the first day of the rest of your life. Today may be the day of new beginnings. I would like to encourage you, if you have not trusted Christ, that I hope I've shown you enough this day that you can actually trust Him and know fully and completely that He is your Savior. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He has paid fully for you, and you can have brand new life today. Please don't leave here until you've committed your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not yet a child of God, I want you to be one. We want you to be one. There are people praying for you right now that you'll see who Jesus Christ is and that you'll see Him as the people saw Him then. He healed them. He took care of them. He provided for them. He saved them. Trust today the Lord Jesus Christ.